What you're watching now has been a lot of sweat and tears and blood that we invested to make this video come to you. Like, subscribe, and share. Hi, welcome to the second episode of my second show, which is called Spontaneous Conversations. This show emerged from literally a very spontaneous conversation I had with Ann Tucker a few weeks back, where we intended to have a conversation for the intimate show, but then the energy just pushed us in a certain direction and we started talking about the energy that's going on now, the transformations that are happening and how to deal with all those changes, which was really a beautiful and very inspiring conversation, and we had a lot of fun, we laughed a lot. And that made me decide, like, okay, this is something that's really needed. And today, my guest is Leonard from the Philippines, all the way on the other side of the globe. Long live the internet and Zoom. And we met actually through Ann Tucker, through a 5-day challenge. And I just knew I need to connect with the guy. I saw him speak for a few minutes and I was like, okay, I need to connect with the guy. And then we connected. We had a talk of 3.5 hours. A few days later, we really connected and we talked about many different subjects. And at a certain moment, I was like, wow, maybe we should have been recording. Or like, no, this was just between us, but we just schedule a call. And today is that day where we have this talk. And so I want to welcome Leonard to this show. Leonard, why don't you go first and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit what it is you're here to share and to do in this lifetime.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for inviting me here. I thought I considered myself as a jack of all trades. When I was a kid, I really don't know what, I don't have that specific plan. But recently, I think it's slowly unfolding as to what I'm really here to do. So because I think a lot of catalysts are put by the universe on my path, especially in 2020. So it's getting clearer. Those blurred visions are getting clearer and clearer and clearer. And lately I've been trying to hone my creativity through art and writing. I think I'm still going to expand from it. I think it's not limited to it. I think there's a lot more to unfold. There's a lot more to be discovered in the coming months, years, or times. So there, that's what I do. How about you?
I'm really looking forward to that. And one thing you didn't mention is that you also have your own show where you invite people and you have wonderful conversations with them. And today's show is actually a combination of both shows. So we're both recording it. We're both going to publish it. And I really encourage my viewers to also have a look at his show, and there will be the links in the description how you can find Leonard. And he has some beautiful guests as well that are really worth listening to. So head over there, subscribe to his channel too. So yeah, I've been going through a reset. I can feel I'm at the end of the reset, I'm coming out of it, meaning that things start to take shape again. So I have been in the corporate world for, 25 years. Done many things, and the red thread throughout my career was always communication. Connecting and communicating with people. It could be through sales, could be through partner management, where I would be the glue holding different companies together in common projects, or different divisions together within a project. but also recruiting people, so communicating with those who needed people, and then finding the right people and bring them together, matching them. Management, which is also communication, which I started at quite a young age, at the age of 24, already started to manage. And that was tough, by the way. And not everyone is a born leader, I can tell you that. And even if you're born, then you need to really allow for your qualities to come up. And for that, you need to go inwards, which was something I didn't know back then. But once I started to discover that, my management started to change. And for those who know me already for a while, they know that I'm always talking about go in here, and feel. And then you'll find the answers. And that's something I started to do unconsciously. And at a certain moment, 2007, I decided to start coaching. And I started first with job coaching because I myself did not know what kind of job I wanted. And I went to a job coach and I was like, wow, what you're doing is really what I should be doing. I love this. So that's how I started, and was big part still from here. And then in 2012, everything transformed when I had a big breakthrough where my intuition really got opened. I made the connection with spirit more consciously. And so everything started to change. So I started actually healing. I cooperated with a good friend of mine. And then last year, a reset came into place in different areas of my life. And I decided to stop healing people, but teaching people how to heal themselves, which is much more efficient. Also, sexuality has played a very important role throughout my life. And let's say on the dark side. And now it got brought into the light. So my reset was also part of that. And so my shift has changed from business coaching, entrepreneurs, and coaching people on the life coaching side to only helping entrepreneurs with efficiency improvement and assessment if they're really matching the current energies and how the market is evolving, how the world is evolving. And on the personal side, the life coaching side, there is a shift towards intimacy, connection, sexuality, male-female energy. And I know that you and I will also have a talk about that. We will have a dedicated talk about that. But this is where I am heading now, and that's why my first show is the Intimate Show, and there are already three of them. And there are many more coming because I keep speaking to people who are really enthusiastic about it. There's actually my friend Anel who asked me the first time to get on her show about that because she started to interview men. And every Tuesday evening, there is her show with men, and I started to invite women because I'm a man. But I also want to invite men, and I felt that after the first show, like, yeah, I will also be inviting men. So Leonard will probably be the first man on that show, which will be already a new shift. And like Leonard said, a lot of new things will happen, and we'll see a lot of new things from him coming, which he cannot yet define. I see the same happening on my side. That it's clear something is happening, but what exactly, I do not know. I just know that my task is to bring a lot of awareness when it comes to sexuality, intimacy, and connection. And this is very linked to the topic of today that we decided on, which is the dark versus the light. And I realized at a certain moment, like, yeah, even how we're dressed, Leonard is wearing white with some dark stripes in it, and I'm wearing dark with some light stripes on it, or light shapes. And I would say, let's just dive in there, because the subject came up because of everything that's happening now. When you take the very big picture, some of you may know that there is this huge fight between light and darkness. And also those who know that in 2012, the whole Milky Way moved into a new area of space where the frequency is high, the vibration is higher, and that led to more people start to awaken. but those who dug into this deeper also know it's a cycle where the Milky Way is going, and so also the Earth, with higher vibrations and then lower vibrations. And to just set a statement, to start this video with a hard statement, we come from the dark, we're going to the light, and after that we're going back into the dark again. And it's just a cycle, and that's why both are okay. And I know a lot of you will be like, what? Darkness is bad, light is good. No, both are okay. Leonard, your take on this. Let's just go in.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Even if you negate, because I think in this, at this point in time, since a lot of shadows, collective shadows, are purging, a lot of realities are being questioned. And it's very evident, if you watch the news, there is one party against another, there is one belief against another, there is one interpretation against another. And it's the, I think we talked about this earlier, like 2020 is the year of uprising of duality. The molasses are coming up and people are waking up to maybe asking the questions that they should have asked before. But I believe divine timing is always right. So you will wake up at the exact time that you're supposed to wake up. And in terms of light and dark, yes. If you look at it, I look at it as concepts of the mind. Because, yeah, you're absolutely right. Before everything existed, there's darkness. And then if you read the Bible, it says, and then there was light. Because before the light, it was all darkness. And even if you negate about darkness being evil, the darkness are holding the stars. The darkness inside the mother's womb is darkness. The seeds planted, the trees, the tall trees, the plants that bloomed before they were blooming plants or tall trees, they were seeds buried down in the dark, deep underground. That's darkness. So I think it's how our mind perceives darkness. I don't know, it originated somewhere. I don't know who said that, but I think I read it about when the ego evolves, of course, it's going to expand. So part of expansion is interpreting things. And then suddenly there's Western culture, there's Eastern culture. And then suddenly darkness is attributed to the evil force. And then the good forces are the light ones. And I think that has something to do with how the programming of religion is. I believe that played a role. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's a good thing. It just played a role for duality, because in a third dimensional existence, we cannot really exist without duality. We have to go through the nitty-gritty polarities before we go back to unity. And what happens when we go back to unity? Maybe we explore polarity, we keep creating. That's my take on it.
Interesting. Yeah. I recognize one of the things you said. I believe you picked that up in the talk that you had with Ann Tucker. And I really love that part. I mean, I heard it yesterday, and I just started to connect these dots. And what she basically said was, for us to actually see the different stages of creation, because we are all creators, we create something, but we may not be aware of what you create. If somebody makes a painting, that okay, that's a creator, he paints. But you can be creating your company, you can be creating a certain energy in a space when you enter. So people may not see you as a creator, but when you enter space, people get happy or get depressed, whatever it is, good or bad, dark or light. We are all creating in our own way. And like you said in the Bible, it says it was dark and then it was light. But the steps in between, for example, to be light here in our solar system, we need a sun. And it takes millions of years for the sun to be formed. We need matter to start to come together, and slowly there's more and more gravity that starts to attract more and more. And then once the pressure builds up enough, then you get a star, because there's fusion that starts to happen on the inside. And if we look at most solar systems, they are with two stars. We have only one, actually one and a half, because Jupiter was supposed to be a star, but Jupiter is just a failed star. So it stayed a gas giant, which didn't evolve to become a star. And so you see, this is all going very slow, but it's going slow in the 3D. And then when you believe that we are spiritual beings who incarnated here to have a 3D experience, a human experience, or a cat experience, or a dog experience, because there are souls in all living beings, then that is, for example, to experience polarity, like you said, but also to experience, like Anne said, to see actually the different stages of creation. And that's a very interesting thing. I mean, many of us love to watch the videos on how something is being created. How is a car how do you go from a design to really having a car? Some people don't care. They just want the car they can sit in and drive away. Some people are like, but how does a car work? Or how does an airplane work? I mean, I'm very much into aviation. And so I watch these videos on how aircraft are being designed and built. So all these different steps. But in spirit worlds, they're like, aircraft. Boom, there's an aircraft. Okay, you may not need an aircraft then, because you can just go wherever you want. But let's say you want an aircraft, you just do boom, move the aircraft. But then you don't see all the thousands or hundreds of thousands of components that are in an aircraft, and how they got to actually design and build an aircraft that flies and doesn't drop out of the sky. But you can go even further, the history of aviation. How did the first aircraft got built? It flew for just a number of seconds, and then from there they started, the Wright brothers they were, and then from there they started building up. And so other people love to watch videos about cooking. Some people just want to go to a restaurant and eat something nice. Other people love to watch the whole process of cooking, because they love cooking and they love discovering how the food is made and how they can reproduce it themselves, which is an art as well, which is a creation. Some people really want to know, how do you create this? How do you create that? And there are so many different areas where we can discover creation. And that's why YouTube, for example, is full. There are billions, literally billions of videos on how to this, or how things are created. And then coming back to the light and dark, the same there. Because if you really look within us, we see that we have dark and light within us. The yin yang is often represented with two shades, light and dark. The simplest is black and white. But it doesn't mean that the male side is the bad one because it's black, or is good because it's white. I always confuse the two. And in the end, it doesn't matter, because there's not a good and bad. It's just these polarities for us to experience what it means. Because even in the creation of the universe, if you look at black holes, I mean, a galaxy. How is a galaxy a galaxy? A galaxy is only a galaxy because there's a black hole in the middle and everything is rotating around it. And so there is this structure, and so everything stays together. But the black hole is like a vacuum cleaner sucking up all the stars that are getting close to them. And in the end, we will also be sucked up in that black hole, but it will take a billion years. I mean, like 20 billion years or whatever. And by the time we get sucked up, there is no galaxy left anymore because we are really on the outside of it. But the black hole is very destructive. It's black, and it's black because it has such a high gravity that sucks up and even light cannot escape. But at a certain distance, there is so much energy going down of destruction already that there is a lot of light. So you have this very light disk around it. So you already have there the dark and the light. You have the creation and the destruction. So the black hole is destroying, but at a certain moment, I believe the black hole turns into a kaboom, a big bang, and you have creation again. Our sun will collapse on itself and will explode. We'll have a supernova. And the supernova creates beautiful clouds in the sky that we can see sometimes with good telescopes, of course. But then these clouds are also what will form new planets and new solar systems. So is it really bad, the dark? Is destruction bad? Or is it just a cycle of energy, like the cycles we're going through, the dark ages and the light ages? And they called it the dark ages because there was a lot of darkness happening then. But the cycle is, I believe, around 11 or 22,000 years. I don't know exactly. Maybe I'm confusing the one with the big changes in the ice ages and the warm periods, because it's clear that, for example, the pyramids and the Sphinx were there already more than 11,000 years ago, because 11,000 years ago there was the big flood. You can see the proof of that, which is the erosion on the bottom of the Sphinx and the pyramids, which a lot of people are saying is not the case, because history is being told to us like 5,000 years ago, some crazy guys who had a lot of power wanted to build big tombs for themselves, but they never found any pharaoh buried in any of the pyramids. So it's a lie. Proof is there, but we're still believing the lie.
Yes.
And you can call that darkness. And other people call it light because, but we have all the knowledge. But there's still the polarities, and the polarities are also there because some people want power, some people want to make money, some people want to be famous. So when the pyramids in Serbia, for example, were discovered, which people said, no, they're just hills. And the guy who has been, I believe, even convicted for corruption in Egypt, but is still the head of archaeology there, was the first to say, it's fake. They're just hills. But some very courageous people put their own money in it and have been proving that there are really pyramids, which are much bigger than the greatest pyramid of Egypt. So that is already something destroying the ego of those who have been there, who have been writing the books and who are not in the mood to rewrite history. So they will do everything to discredit others. And the discrediting thing is also something we see. It's also a polarity that we see in society. Like, for me not to be proven wrong, I need to discredit you, so that people will not trust anything you say, because I will prove that you once, 20 years ago, you lied about something, about stealing that cookie. And the people will never trust you anymore. Whatever you say, they will not trust because you stole that cookie back then. And that's how I can go around and I'm the one people will trust. But that's also the polarities, also the dark and the light playing with each other. Justice often isn't really on the light side. It's just darkness enveloped in light. Because if justice is to kill somebody, killing, you can say, is dark. But then, but this is justice, so it's good. So killing that person is good. So we just put a light on something and we say, now it's light, so it's good. So it's a very twisted way how we play with all these polarities. And I'm sure many of you watching now are like, but that's wrong, and that's wrong. Says who?
I think because when I was listening to you saying that, what's been coming to my mind is because we judge ourselves also. Like if I feel angry, anger is bad, fear is bad, or our emotions, we label them as good and bad. We put polarities in our emotions when in fact emotions are just emotions. They're just energy in motion. And the way to deal with emotion is to express it. Express it in a way that's not destructive. And that's why I think we project or we label something outside ourselves as, oh, this is good, oh, this is bad, because we haven't come to terms with our own inner oneness. That a lot of spiritual community called it shadow work. Like if somebody, I get triggered with somebody said something and I got so furious, so angry, that's not the other person, that's me. That's the part, that's the wounded part of me that's trying to say something. And I just related what you're saying to human emotions. And when I don't know, it depends on what culture or how you were brought up, but I think I rarely have met people who were encouraged to express themselves fully. And when we were growing up, we carried the generation of trauma, the generation of upbringing. And that's why I love those people who question, because those are the cycle breakers. Those are the people who will break the cycle of trauma, because they know that this is not bad. Crying is not bad. A lot of suicides happen because they have to project the image that I'm strong enough, that, you know, we've been programmed that there's always something wrong with us, that there's always something to fix. That's why when somebody would say a lot of things about the truth, there's a dissonance. There's like a shock, an inner shock or a cognitive dissonance that would like shake you. And suddenly you're attacking the person, I'm attacking the person. But I think deep down inside that one is an inner child that's actually validating that person. I want to be that person. I want to be that rebellious person, or that person who's free-spirited, who can speak his truth. So suddenly we're attacking people who are fully embodied with what they believe in. And the labels, I think the labels and the judgment that plays the role of oscillating you from putting like a box, or a prison. So let's say somebody would be, I don't know, maybe even actions we judge as good and bad. I cannot think of examples, but I think there's a lot. Let's say the people wearing masks or people not wearing masks. I don't know.
Very sensitive one. We're going to lose a lot of viewers at this moment.
Oh, we can edit it.
No. We'll leave it in. Have the courage to keep watching. Whatever your choice is to wear or not wear a mask, keep watching if you have the guts. So, keep going.
Yeah, because I feel like at some point lately, these days, I get this feeling of, I don't care if your buttons get pushed, but this is my truth aligned with my truth. Like, I don't, like if they're talking about the neutral space, the zero point, the middle ground, I think that's the most efficient or the most helpful for me in my own perspective. Because if you believe that wearing masks is beneficial for you, then do it. If somebody would negate that or invalidate that, he or she is breaking your momentum. Because if your vibration is aligned with wearing mask or not wearing mask, if that's the truth that you are aligned with, then that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't matter what the noise outside of you are saying, because I think these are concepts. Ultimately, let's say you wear a mask out of fear, or you wear a mask out of compliance. That doesn't matter. What matters is what you resonate with inside the heart space. So I think that's not the issue. If the thing that when arguments heat up is when somebody invalidate that truth, like when somebody's saying yours, that's wrong, you're not supposed to do that. So that's where the boats get shaken.
That's an interesting one, because when somebody gets upset about somebody else making a different choice, it's an energy of fear.
Yes.
And they may say, no, I'm not afraid. Okay, if you're not afraid of somebody else having a different opinion than yours, why would you care? Why would you get upset at the person? And you see this a lot with religious people. So let's say you're a Muslim, and then somebody else has a certain opinion on something. He says, yeah, but I don't believe that certain things are in a certain way. If you get upset at that person and you feel like, okay, he will burn in hell because I believe my God will put him in hell. Okay. By the way, the church admitted that they invented hell just to put fear in people. And so they came with it. And so the Muslims also came with hell, I believe, because the Islam was an update on Christianity. It came 400 or 500 years later in a different geographical area. So they fine-tuned. And they looked at what did work, what didn't work. So, okay, we're going to fine-tune here. Like Christianity has a lot of things from Buddhism. But Buddhism was in Asia and they were in the Middle East. So, yeah. That's why Jesus is not a white guy with long blonde hair. He's also not a black guy, as far as I know, but he's more like, yeah, you, the color of your skin, more or less. But then, yeah, okay, I have almost no hair left, but curly hair, because that's what you have in the Middle East. And probably a beard, because everyone was wearing a beard, because they didn't have the shaving materials that we didn't have Gillette back then. And to be a real man, you need to have a beard, because that's manhood. But if as a Muslim you get really upset and you feel you need to destroy somebody for having a different opinion, that means you're afraid of that person's opinion. You feel the danger of what that person is saying, so you want to destroy it. Like if a snake comes in your house, you kill it because it's going to kill you. But if a fly comes, you may let it go. Maybe you'll kill it because it's annoying you, but it's not a danger, so you don't kill it. Or if a bird comes in your house, you will not kill it. You will just catch it to eat it, or put it in a cage, or you let it out of the window. But then if you want to kill that person, you want to kill that idea, you want to forbid a book, for example, like we see a lot of censoring now online for everyone who has an opinion that is different from what the CDC or the government is saying, YouTube and Facebook are censoring it. That is, in my opinion, a sign of fear. It means those in power are afraid of anybody saying something that is different. That people say, no, but they're putting other people's lives at risk. Says who? That's an opinion. Hundreds or thousands of doctors saying like, hey, things are not as they're being portrayed in the media. They're immediately labeled as, no, they're fake, they're this, they're that. Why can doctors not have their opinion? Why can doctors not voice their opinion? Why is that suddenly forbidden? Because there is fear. Because some people are afraid that whatever they're preaching may lose power when people resonate more with somebody else's vision or opinion. But on the other hand, we all say we should have democracy, freedom of speech, freedom of expression. So what's going on? We never had this extreme censorship. I mean, we had it back in dictatorships. And also in dictatorships, we had propaganda that the media was saying exactly what the government wanted. And so it's interesting to see the West saying, but those countries, North Korea, China, Iran, they're bad because they're censoring, or Saudi Arabia, the media is not free, and all these things. But then what are we doing in the West now? We are censoring like hell. We're doing exactly that. So it's just a judgment. It's just a difference in opinion. And we can say one is good, one is bad. But who decides on that? And what you see now is that a lot of people just go in here and they say, I don't feel this thing. I don't feel COVID is really a danger. And then these people will make sure to find proof that the numbers of deaths are so low that according to the own CDC's according to the WHO's own standards, it's not a pandemic. The number of deaths compared to whatever, I mean, if you look all over the digits, it's not a pandemic. But they're saying it's a pandemic since Bill Gates gave them a big donation of $50 million and was angry. And we all know that he has invested in all these vaccine companies. And I always say, follow the money. So some people may get very upset now, but yeah, just look at the money flow. And that's my opinion. I may be totally wrong. Maybe Bill Gates is the new Messiah. Maybe he's the new Jesus who's going to save us all. Maybe, maybe not, but that's what we choose to believe, is the path we choose to walk. And look at Sweden, no lockdown, but the numbers of deaths are very low. So, you can say, fake news? Maybe they're hiding all the deaths? Or maybe others are faking the numbers, I don't know. But this is one of the big polarities we see now. Like we have seen polarities in the Middle East for very long between the Arabs and the non-Arabs, the Jews and the Arabs, the Muslims and the Christians, the Muslims and the Jews, the Christians and the Jews. There's always been polarity in the last 2,000-3,000 years. There's always been polarity. Always one group fighting another group. And we should know by now that history is written down by those who win. But winning the battle doesn't mean you were right. You could say you did something right because you won the battle, but if you use a nuclear bomb and say, okay, now we won the war, I don't know if that's really doing things right. Because it's a nasty thing to do, to drop a nuclear bomb and kill millions at once, or tens of thousands at once. So polarities are here because we are moving from the dark period into the light period. So the dark needs to be filtered out so that we can adapt to the higher vibration. But in 10 or 20,000 years from now, we will be doing the opposite, going into the dark. So the light needs to be filtered out and we need to go and embrace more the dark again. We need to filter out all the light. And that's something that most people who have an open mind will be like, hey, this sounds like it makes sense. And when you start doing research, you will find a lot of information on this. But it will also, for a lot of people, be like, And that's okay. I personally say it's because these people don't look further than the length of the nose. It's a Dutch expression. Niet verder kijken dan je neus lang is. But if you have an open mind, you really look at all different possibilities. If you're a philosopher, you don't take anything for granted, but you dig into everything. Then you see that there are so many different perspectives on so many things. That dark and light are just one or the other side of the coin. Literally, when you go in a dark room and you hold a coin, you have one light, you have a dark side and you have a light side, and you turn around and then the other one is light and then the first one is dark.
I suddenly visualized an image of the sun, mm-hmm. because the sun is a sphere. So in order for you to really find the truth, I think the sun is a good example. It's spherical in shape and a perspective with a spheric. If you have that spherical perspective of the truth, you will look at all the angles before you jump into the conclusion. Because if you say that, if you, I don't know how to put this in words, like if you say, if you negate, at, if you're so sure that you already know the truth 100%, and then later on, it goes into your face like, oh, I should have opened my mind. But everything are lessons, so it's all good. But there's always the easier way of learning the truth, or there's also a way to maybe get burned before you learn it really. But either way, you still learn. Nobody is a loser in this universe. You always evolve because you always experience something. But in my personal experience, it's always helpful if maybe explore this perspective. Why? Because it's the fact that it exists, it means it's there. It's a truth in maybe another timeline or another angle, but it doesn't mean, I think, I don't know if it's the Dalai Lama. He said love is the absence of judgment, because judgment can really, really limit your capacity to be free, to explore the possibilities. And that's that personal, from personal experience, that's what I experienced from religion, mm-hmm. because I was fixated with the fact that my life is based on a gauge, whether I obeyed a God from the high heavens up in the clouds. And if I did not meet his standards, and it's a his, I did not explore, what if God is a female? What if God has no gender? So I have this image of, what if I'm not that worthy to meet the standards of this God? And in religion, it's usually the eternal damnation or eternal abundance, eternal life. So, and in a society like this, we're always being bombarded that you're not enough. You need to have more. So that unworthiness shadow aligned with that religious programming that you're damned to hell unless you follow these rules. Those are projections of the people who try to manipulate the system. So, and until it was difficult to break that shell. I had to go through a lot of experience, read a lot of books, and then meet a lot of people. And even if I already met a lot of people, it's still difficult to break that. No, hell is real. There's a place where we will be burned in eternal fires. and it's really difficult. But when I slowly explored the possibility, and then it started making sense. It started giving me the freedom to be the sovereign self that I am. So then I realized I had to go through that traumatic religious programming so that I can appreciate it. So, and then now I can know, even if I talk to a Muslim, I talk to any religion that exists, I can accept you and embrace you with no judgment. I can say that. I won't judge you whatever you believe in terms of religion. and that helped me. I think that is my version of God right now, the God with no judgment, the benevolent consciousness that will embrace you. Because I don't know, I just felt like it was bombarded that God will punish us, when in fact we're so good at punishing ourselves already. We're so good at punishing others. So I posted the other day that eternal damnation concept, it's just a loop of experience that you're not learning from. So if you don't learn from it, you repeat it. So that's the cycle. You can call it reincarnation. You can call it karmic loop. You can, even if we stay grounded in this reality, let's say you're meeting one relationship after another and you're attracting the same person, the same toxic person you label, and you're not learning from it, that's damnation. Until you break your own pattern, it's going to repeat. It's the eternal one. But it doesn't mean we cannot break free from that. We can, because we are sovereign. We are gods and goddesses creating the universe. So that's ultimate freedom for me.
Yeah. Yeah, you break the pattern when you learn the lesson. And that's also something about learning the lessons. Sometimes the same lesson comes back, but on a different level, because you have more to learn, but on a different level. It's like you learn calculus at school, 1 + 1 = 2, but then later on, you learn more and more, and you go deeper and deeper into learning. And the same happens with life. So that's also why certain life lessons do come back, but they come back in a different way. And if you're attentive, then you can learn that lesson much faster than you learned it the previous time, because it's just an upgrade, an update on your software, let's say.
Or sometimes, like, to test you if you really learned the lesson.
Oh, definitely.
Or maybe just to experience it again for fun. We don't know. It's like, it's all a play of consciousness. It's all a character. Like what William Shakespeare said, all the men are merely players. It's a divine play. So if you see it as a divine play, I wouldn't be angry at the dark forces. I'm not saying like I tolerate what they do, but when you hate something, you magnify the hatred and you create more something that you hate, and you spread that energy, that frequency of hate. And I don't think that's anything helpful. So if I witness it from a neutral point and I see it as they're playing a role, everybody is playing their own role. They signed up for a contract to play a role, and there. I just witness it. And if it's in front of me, I'll do something about it. Like, but if it's really, let's say the vaccine is not yet here, but if I get paranoid that it's gonna get mandated, I'm creating that reality in my present moment. I'm creating that fear.
Yes.
Fear is a powerful emotion, right? It's going to expand.
Yeah, and for those who do or do not believe that we create our own reality, scientists already have confirmed that parallel universes exist, and at every moment of a decision, there's a new split. That's why there is an unlimited number of realities. And so once you are afraid of something, you will experience that something in your life. You will attract it, because one reality will bring it to you, so you can step through that fear. So you can transform that fear and it can disappear. But if you're not afraid, then your reality will not bring that fear, will not bring that thing on your path, because there's nothing for you to learn. So every moment you have a choice. I will be afraid of, let's say, mandating vaccines, like you said, or I'm not afraid of them because they will not hurt me, or they will simply not come. then there's already a split of reality. One version of you will be completely screwed up with the vaccine, will be forced, will be trauma to have it, and then will get sick from it and have all these side effects because you already have them in your mind, and the mind is very strong. That's like the placebo effect works. If you believe in something, it will happen. So you believe that taking this pill will heal you or will kill you, it will do just that. If you don't have that fear, you will go the other path and there will be no vaccine or nothing, and yeah, a different world. Mm-hmm. I actually recorded a video about that, but I didn't put it that way. I more talked about the split in reality of some people going more into the light and some people stay in the dark for now because they have more to learn and to do there. So the earth will split in two. For those who look on my channel, they will see like the picture is two earths overlapping a little bit. But it actually goes much further than that. There's this all these little splits. And another example is when, for me, when I'm not in trust, when I stop trusting the process, everything collapses. Everything starts to go wrong, things get cancelled, it's total chaos. And when I step out of that energy and I go back into trust, then boop, back in flow, and everything is working again perfectly. It's just like these little toys that I used to have. I don't know the name, and I will really try to look. I don't even know how to search for it online. There were these little toys that were made of beads, like animals, and they were on a little pedestal from wood. And all the beads were connected with a wire. If you would press on the bottom of the pedestal, you would push up, and there would be less tension. And if there was no tension on the wires, the animal would collapse. If you would let go of the tension, it would be standing again. And that's exactly how it's going in life now. When you trust the process, everything goes well. When you stop trusting, boom, it collapses. But when you really get back into trust, not like, yeah, okay, I'll trust, and then look like, is it going to work? No. Like, really trust from here, then everything is just back, like nothing happened. Or maybe a small damage, but it's just back on track. And you're riding the wave of your life again.
Yes.
And that's just depending on our choices, because we need to learn to trust the process. We need to learn to trust our soul. We need to learn to trust our intuition, that we're getting the right information that we need. So as soon as we don't trust, boom, you see, you didn't trust, so you get screwed up. And then when you trust, hey, you see, it goes well. It's like, ha, told you, if you work hard, you'll win the prize. Oh, you didn't work hard, so you don't get a prize. Oh, you work hard, great, here's your prize. It's just like that.
Yes, I like that you presented it in a very neutral way, because if you go to Facebook or even the news, the mainstream news, I can feel the energy of fear being magnified, like even future predictions or just the current events being presented on TV. It's really there's a strong fear energy around it.
We're doomed, we're all gonna die, the end of the world, we're all destroying ourselves, it will all kill us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and exactly what you're saying, trust the process. Because let's say, if the foundation of our truth is we are eternal, that we are going to exist no matter what happens, then we're not going to be afraid of what's gonna happen. Because yeah, it's the world will keep the collapses. There are collapses will happen, so something new will emerge. So that the world is changing constantly. So what if we like put the fear energy around that? We are really bound to this, to chaos, to internal chaos, instead of being at peace of and trust the unfolding of the process.
The The collapse and the rebuild is a nice example. So some of us, we had Lego when we were little. And the amount of blocks were limited. So we could build something and we would be very happy with it. But if we didn't have parents with a lot of money who would keep buying and buying and buying more, in order to build something else, we had to destroy the first construct we had, and then we could build that other thing. And of course, at the moment, you get very creative that you can build two things, because you become very creative and very efficient with your pieces, but it's about building, destroying, and rebuilding. And that's the cycle of life. But also looking at the period you are in now, with the economical collapse and so on, those who went into fear experienced collapse. I decided not to go into fear. And what helped were also certain friends I have around me. And together we decided we're not going into fear. And so none of my friends is suffering. Yes, I'm earning much less. Just before Corona started, I was earning really well. I mean, I really saw this boost in my business. And then Corona came and whoosh. But I'm still having my apartment. I managed to pay the rent every month. I managed to pay the bills every month. And I have had food on the table every single day. Yes, I was not able to buy a new computer, to go on holiday. But I was able to go to the park. Yes, we had lockdown for a month or a little bit longer. And then when that was done, I was really happy because it was spring. And come on, it's the period you want to be in the park to enjoy the flowers and the nice smells and stuff like that. So as soon as the lockdown was done, I was back in the park. But even during lockdown, I managed to have almost daily my walks of an hour. Because I found ways to look at the rules and use them so that I would have my walks in a legal way. So I stayed in shape. I didn't grow fatter because I was sitting all day on my ass. And so it's just a choice. I say suffering is a choice. Struggle is what we do to learn. But suffering is a choice. We choose to suffer or we choose not to suffer. We choose to suffer when we go in drama, when we start to label everything being black, being bad, being negative, being doomed, being hell on earth, or we choose not to suffer, and that everything is happening for a good reason, and that we'll get through to it and we'll have what we need when we'll need it, which is the basic definition of abundance. Abundance is not having a million of whatever. Abundance is having what you need when you need it. End of definition. And this one I got from Bashar, who has very simple and brilliant channelings. So this is what I would like to share, to really for you people to remember. You choose to go with the flow of life, to ride that wave, or you choose to drown, to suffer, to drop off your surfboard and to drown in the water. It's your choice.
Yeah, I agree. And maybe the choice we make all the time is the right choice. I when I started getting out of the label concepts, instead of labeling it as good or bad, I say, is this expansive or is it constricting? Because if it's expansive, you will feel the momentum. You will feel joy. There's no resistance. Like what you said, there's flow. But if it's constricting, that's the time you question it. That's how I gauge if this is for me, if this serves my highest good. Is this idea or belief constricting? Is this giving me a lot of resistance? or is it expansive? Like when they said, God does not punish you to hell. God is a loving God. He's neutral. So that's expansive. That for me is a truth that I did not resist. And that's the God I see right now. Or maybe consciousness or whatever you want to call the higher power, the source. And like what you said earlier, it all boils down to choices. It's all a matter of choosing. And the thing is, whatever you choose, you will learn. You will always learn. Like it's breaking the shell or the belief that something will go wrong, because there's nothing wrong in creation. It's always a cycle. Either you stay in that cycle for a longer time, but no matter how much you pull yourself down, you will always come back up. It's always up, down, a spiral, or up and down. It's always a cycle, so nothing can go wrong.
True. I believe this is a beautiful closure for people to take with them and contemplate on.
Yes, I agree.
So I would like to thank everyone for watching, for bearing with us through this. Yeah, this was probably a turbulent ride for many, or a very smooth one for those like, finally. Yeah, we totally resonate with this. So in both cases, I hope you picked up something valuable, that you enjoyed it. And even if it was challenging, then look at the challenges. See what is challenging you and what can you learn from that challenge. How can you grow and expand your awareness and your being? So where can people find you? How can people find you and discover more from what you're doing and what you have to share?
Yeah, my YouTube channel is Spontaneous Miracles. And my Instagram is LeonardArt333. So I post my artworks there. And those are two of my active social media. On Facebook, I'm also there. So, but all the interviews I've had with Ann Tucker, and everybody who allowed me to interview them, and that's such an honor. So you can find it in YouTube, Spontaneous Miracles.
We'll have all the links on the bottom in the description so people can find us. Yeah, for me, it's on intuitive.me, intuitive without E. And I think that I will have the logos on screen, but also in the description, you'll find also where you can find me, my YouTube channel, Facebook group. I have a group also called intuitive.me. And yeah, I'm looking forward to have another conversation with you in the future. We will do at least one intimate show, but I feel there is more that will come up, especially with all the changes that are happening. There will be much to discuss.
Yes.
So thank you too for your precious time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And now it's up to us to go and edit these videos and publish them.
Yes.
So people, what you're watching now has been a lot of sweat and tears and blood that we invested to make this video come to you.
Yes.
But we didn't suffer. We struggled, but we didn't suffer.
Yes, I like it.
Like, subscribe, and share.